This is Mr. Tolu Balogun. On the Work From Home podcast, I will be teaching you a lot of things you can do to upgrade your skills and be able to run a work from home business successfully. Stay with me and enjoy. Hi everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of the Work From Home podcast. I'm super excited to have with me Dustin. Dustin is a coach, a business coach, who leverages on the power of partnership marketing, and we'll get into that as we proceed. But please, Dustin, introduce yourself to the listeners.
Absolutely, Tulu. I'm excited to be here with you. As you said, my name is Dustin Reichman. I hail from the state of Illinois in the United States, and I've worked from home in various capacities, both corporate and self-employed. Learned a lot along the way. And as you mentioned, kind of my focus right now is my business Simple Success Coaching, which helps mostly online entrepreneurs, you know, sell more courses, do more coaching, sell more e-commerce goods using the power of partnership marketing. So I'm sure we'll get into to what all that means, but that's really my big focus. The other thing I do is I'm a partner in a business called Fire Creek Snacks, which is an e-commerce business that sells, you know, better for you protein snacks in the United States.
Okay, awesome. So just because we've had a lot of guests talk about working corporate from home, I would like you to give us an insight what it was like when you were working corporate, but from home. Was it due to the pandemic or just something you were doing way before the pandemic?
Oh yeah, so my professional background is actually in engineering. So I was an engineering consultant since 2001, and I started working from home part-time around 2008. And then I was actually ahead of my engineering career until 2018. So I did a lot of side hustles, a lot of businesses, you know, in addition to my day job with engineering. So it's kind of funny. My office was set up. It still is set up this way, but not because of engineering. But I basically have one computer that's a MacBook that I, you know, did all my creative work and all my side hustles, and I could spin my chair around to another desk in a Windows PC for my engineering job. So it kind of allowed me to switch my brain from one task to the other. But yeah, so I've worked at least in part from home for 14 years, I guess, at this point, and full-time from home for, I'd say, at least 8 years.
That's awesome. That's so interesting. And I mean, I like the angle that you brought into it, especially with the fact that you are able to switch between roles while working from home, making your routine less boring than people who just have just one kind of thing that they do around the clock, or I mean in chunks of time, whatever the case might be. So real quick, let's get straight into what partnership marketing is. What is partnership marketing?
Yeah, so in a one sentence, partnership marketing is getting yourself in front of your ideal audience that is collaborated by someone else. So there's many examples of this. In my e-commerce business, an example would be a subscription box, right? Where we put samples of our product in a subscription box that goes out to potential new customers. And every partnership is a win-win-win. So in that case, the win for us is exposure to new customers. The win for the subscription box company is they have a good new product to feature, often at a discount or even for free. And then the benefit to their customers is they get to discover a new snack they might love. Another example of partnership marketing is exactly what we're doing, right? So I use in my teaching and my group classes podcast as kind of the ultimate case study. So if someone's listening and say they're a health coach and they want to get more clients, well, a really effective, simple way to do that is to go get featured on podcasts that have people with their needs in the audience, right? So people with chronic health issues, as an example, in the audience. And so this coach comes on and gives their expertise, tells their story, has a really good call to action to let any prospects in that audience raise their hand and say, I'm interested in learning more. And that's, you know, a really simple sales funnel. But that all, each of those are an example of partnership marketing, where it's free, usually. It's a win-win-win for everyone. It's something that you can do over and over again because you're passionate about it, and it not only grows your business, but it really, really grows your network. And that's really kind of the secret power in partnership marketing. Is I could get on a podcast and talk about my brand Fire Creek Snacks, and I'll sell some snack sticks, and that's good, so it's worth my time. But much more importantly, I've developed a relationship with that host, and then there's people in their audience that maybe aren't looking to buy snack sticks today, but they really liked my brand story and they reach out for coaching, or they reach out because they know someone at a major retailer who they'd like to introduce me to help sell my brand. And that's what I found. I've been on 25-30 podcasts, mostly talking about Fire Creek Snacks as our e-commerce company. And it's kind of blown my mind, just how many people I've met, how many great relationships I've formed. And really my entire coaching practice has grown out of doing that. So going out and having other businesses, I've got another business that's in the marriage enrichment space. It was my first side hustle in 2009. It's called Engaged Marriage. But like over the years of running Engaged Marriage and now Fire Creek Snacks, people see how I market, and then they reach out to me for advice on how to market, and then they become coaching clients. So I've done very little marketing of my coaching services, yet it's the majority of my income at this point, and it's what I spend most of my time on. But it's all been inbound and organic because of the power of partnership marketing.
Yeah, I mean, I love when you talk about inbound and organic, because that's the marketing I love. Because what you're doing basically is positioning yourself in places, as you said, partners, where people, target audience, are able to find you. That feels more natural. That feels less salesy. Yes. That tends to last for the longer term than just, you know, getting someone and just crossing them to buy from you today, which is not a bad idea. But, I mean, a lot of businesses need to be able to prepare for, to build for the long term. And that's one of the reasons why I started this podcast in the first place. I wanted people to know that they can start a sustainable business from home, build for the long term, not get too carried away about the now, and still get focused on the long term. So, my listeners, if you are listening today, the basic stuff is what the value Dustin is providing today is very immense. It's what you should be paying for, right? Seriously, because this type of value would sustain your business for years to come. And if you look at all the stuff he's been saying, he's talked about the fact that you are placing your value, your proposition, your whatever you're selling in front of your target audience, and you're not paying for ads in this case. You are just building relationships with them, and businesses that come from the relationship mindset, not from the this is what you need, come buy from me mindset, they tend to thrive way longer than businesses that are just, you know, in your face. So based on your years of experience helping businesses thrive with this partnership marketing model, how would you say, and I believe that most of these services, definitely before you can even say you want to try something like this, you're definitely passionate about what you're doing, you are well knowledgeable about what you're doing, you are invested in the success of your clients or people that are working or people that want to shop with you. So how would you categorize the growth of these businesses over the space of, let's say, 2 to 3 years of trying partnership marketing?
Yeah, I mean, it's like many things in life and many things in marketing, it has a lot to do with how much effort you put into it. But I can tell you that I started off doing this, I was doing one-on-one business coaching. And then while I was growing my own brands through partnership marketing, a lot of my business coaching, I started to realize I was kind of prescribing partnership marketing as a great strategy for people. And I found that it fit almost any business, but especially any online business, where you have that like scale that you're available, you're able to serve customers in a wide range of, you know, without geographic constraints, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It could also work for like a local brick and mortar service. You know, you can, like, as an example for that, if someone's listening and they have a local service business, let's say you do marketing in your city and you help other local businesses with their marketing. Well, you could do things like host a lunchtime workshop, right? And go and provide value, often for free, and you're kind of highlighting what you can do, and then there will be a portion of the people who were interested in that who will want to hire you to actually do it. And so that's just another example of partnership marketing. But you, to your question of time frame, I can tell you that as I did a bunch of one-on-one and it kind of became a framework and a system, and I'm happy to go through like the steps and kind of how I teach it as a system to where it's not just one-off kind of random occurrences, but it's something you do constantly in your business. But I've boiled it down to what I host now are small groups for 6 weeks. And I can tell you that basically every person who participates, who actually tries, can go from having no partnerships and, you know, having a good idea of what they sell and having some kind of product, but by the end of 6 weeks being in several partnerships and making money from it. So it can be a very quick process if you're focused on it and you do it the right way. we typically use podcast as our case study. So basically everyone that, mm-hmm. that kind of finds me, it's often through a podcast. So they kind of understand that model. Mm-hmm. So we'll take them from never being on a podcast mm-hmm. at all to being on sizable podcasts with a clear call to action and getting mm-hmm. leads and sales from it, mm-hmm. you know, in less than 6 weeks. So if anyone's listening, they're like, yeah, this sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. They may be thinking, how do I get on a podcast? Or it's like, this seems like a random thing. Like you must know someone to get featured. It's really not the case. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that's the win-win-win. And you could attest to this, Tolu, like podcast hosts mm-hmm. have a need for fresh voices, for new content. And so it's not a burden for me to reach out to someone and say, hey, I'd love to be on your show and talk about whatever, you know, whatever topic. Yeah, I think your audience is really going to benefit from it. Like that's a win for the host too, when they find someone who can deliver quality content. So that would be my first, like, that's like some people's first objection. I don't know anyone who would want to listen to me. I don't want to bug these people. You know, I don't know what I would provide their audience. Those are all very solvable things, and it's kind of, it fits right into the framework. So I'll let you respond to that. And if you'd like, I can kind of go through the four steps that we usually take people through so people can kind of understand the process of how this would work for their own business.
So before we go to the four yep. steps, one quick question that I would like to ask is this. How do you even find the podcasts or the avenues that match the target audience that businesses are looking for? Because I know that's a very key ingredient in the whole process. So let's talk about that. And then from there, you just go through your process.
Okay. Well, actually, that exact question is step two in the process. So so it's great. You teed me right up. So I'll just go real quick through the four steps, and then we can come back to that particular mm-hmm. step because it is the one that people mm-hmm. get hung up on the most. So step one, and the way I teach things, there's four P's here. So the four steps are purpose, plan, pitch, and perform. Okay. So number mm-hmm. one is purpose. And I joke that this can take 5 minutes or this could take 5 months. You know, like if someone doesn't have a business, a clear vision for their business. But the whole idea that the question you're trying to answer when you go through step one is, what benefit will I get out of being on a, and I'll say quote unquote podcast. Now think it's any platform, subscription box, YouTube channel, mm-hmm. local TV. Mm-hmm. We'll just use the word podcast. But in my brand, what benefit am I going to get out of being on a podcast? So a simple way to answer that is, what's going to be my call to action, right? If I get to the, mm-hmm. if I have a great interview with the perfect audience and I get to the end of it, what am I going to ask the audience to do next? That being able to answer that question with confidence and with clarity and knowing that it fits your overall business goals and your vision for where you want your business to go, that's a key question. So that's your purpose. Like, why are you doing it? Step two is what I call plan. And that's exactly to your point. How do you find the right quote unquote podcast? Where do you find the right partners? And, you know, we, of course, it's fairly in-depth the way we do that research and the way we point people. But the basic idea here that I would leave with your listeners is, think of who you want to serve. Think of your ideal audience and think about where else they hang out or what kind of shows they listen to, what other advice they need. And the big objection here is often, if I'm a health coach, you know, am I going to go on a podcast that has a health coach as the host? Because we're competitors, right? Like, no, you shouldn't go on a podcast. You should go on a podcast that has people in the audience that you could serve. But they, you know, the actual podcast could be about money or business, or it could be about a variety of things, but there's still people in that audience that will value your expertise. So I think, you know, that's, so the big question that you're answering in step two is, who am I going to partner with? And so we've got, you know, lots of prompting questions, ways to do some really good research through Google and Apple, you know, podcasts, to basically come up with a list and then a way to prioritize that list. Because what most people think when they start this step is, I can't think of a single show, I can't think of a single partner. And by the time they get done with the first round of this, what they actually find is it's, if anything, it's overwhelming because there's so many opportunities. They get thousands of like opportunities and then they think, well, now I don't know where to start. So we really help people prioritize that so they don't get overwhelmed. But that's step two, is the plan, which is basically the research and identifying target partners. Step three is pitch. This is kind of the art and science of the whole thing. So imagine that you find the perfect podcast that you want to reach out to the host, but you don't know that host. They don't know you. How do you convey the value you want to provide? How do you relate to that host? How do you basically get them to open an email, show interest in the email enough to keep reading it, and then at the end, show that they're interested in having you on the show? And so I call it the perfect pitch template, right? But I use the same process, and it's a very specific three-step kind of email. And it's effectively catchy subject line. It's an opening, what we call relational anchors. And we show people how to do this real specifically. But if I'm trying to reach Tolu and I do some research and I understand that we have some things in common, or we have common worldviews about something, or it could be as simple as reaching out to you and complimenting you on a previous episode, something that's going to make you feel good and show you as the person opening this email, number one, that Dustin is not some random weirdo from the internet who's just spamming me. Like, he actually is, he knows who I am. He spent some time, he relates to me in some way. So there's some comfort level that gets you to keep reading. And then the kind of middle part of that email is basically a bullet point summary of what I want to teach your audience. So for you as a podcast host, it's like, oh wow, he's like outlined a show for me. This is awesome. Like, this is way, makes it way easier to understand what I provide and basically take the work off your shoulders. And then step three is a clear call to action. So again, it's nuanced and we show people like the details. It's kind of art and science, but that pitch is really vital. And as I got into trying to promote myself and or my brands, I should say, through podcasts, like the first 12 of those cold pitch emails to pretty sizable, you know, podcasts, I'd say 100 to 500 reviews on iTunes. So these are good sized podcasts. I got 12 out of 12 yeses. So I realized that I was doing something right. And then I've been able to show other people how to do it. And they've had a very high success rate. So that's the pitch part. And there's platforms like Podmatch and some others that kind of shortcut that process. But I think really understanding the psychology, really, you know, of how to pitch someone and make it feel like a win-win-win, a true win-win-win, that's really important. So that's step three. And then step four is perform. It's effectively how to do some quick research, this is like basically you get a yes. Someone says, yes, I want a partner. Okay, well now let's capitalize on that and let's do a really good job, not only say in the interview, with the call to action and prepping for the interview and those sort of things, but also outside the interview. Like, how do you follow up with the host, right? To make sure that they want to refer you to other people because you left them an iTunes review or you shared things on your social media about the show, like doing your part and just following up and building a relationship beyond just the 30-minute interview, you know, whatever it is. So those are the four steps. So plan, you know, purpose, plan, pitch, and perform. And so I hope you can see how that's kind of it's a framework. So this is no longer a random, hey, I got a chance to be on a podcast. This is like, for me, my goal, my personal goal in my businesses, in each of them, is to be pitching one new partner per week. You know, and I don't get all yeses, I get mostly yeses. And again, those aren't just podcasts, but if someone's listening and they think, you know, could I pitch one person a week on a partnership of some sort, and you get, you know, 50 yeses a year, literally transforms your business and your life, because you have all those relationships, you have all those, that exposure, you have all that authority, because now if someone Googles your name, they're going to find all these different shows that you've been an authority in your niche. And you start to get this omnipresence, like, wow, I hear Dustin everywhere talking about partnership marketing as an example, right? He must really be an expert in it. So I'll let you ask questions. I get excited, right? I'll talk forever about this topic. So, but that's the framework, and that's what we bring everyone through now in a systematic way. And people need different help and different points in that process, but the process definitely works.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, this is very interesting from the part of taking people from clueless, not understanding how they can even get in front of their target audience, and looking at, can I even do this to the place where they are booking? Not just booking podcast appearances, but also, I mean, closing sales. I mean, increasing your network. Because I know one of the big deals with podcasting is it's not just about closing sales. It's about also, more importantly, building on your network. And before you know it, you know a lot of people. And then maybe down the line, you need something from someone, or you need to introduce yourself to someone, and then you type their name on LinkedIn, which happens to me a lot. I would just see that we have a mutual connection, at least one, and then it's probably someone I've had as a guest on my podcast, or someone who probably just emailed me that they enjoyed listening to my podcast, and then we added them as friends on LinkedIn. And you know, this is the effect of this can be so unreal. not just that, sometimes by just having a lot of guests on the show, one of the things it also does for me, for example, is it educates me. It sometimes helps me to get to learn about new tools, learn about new ways of doing stuff. And for the audience, as you said, it's a win-win-win, not just for the guest or the host, for the audience too. They get to understand so much more. They get to be like, okay. And for me, another way I see this is it's a great way. Getting on podcast is a great way to help the audience shop for the best person that would help them take their business to the next level. So I might listen to this interview and not be interested in what this person is saying, but I might listen to the next one and be like, okay, I like this person's perspective. I think I want to try this person out. So it's really, really a win-win for everybody involved. And I mean, the fact that you are turning this into a business model that helps people to grow is very, very a genius idea, to say the least. So now, the fact that we've helped them through this process that works, especially trying to build a connection from the start, it brings me to the fact of, okay, there is some serious homework that gets done before trying to put the people on the podcast. It's not just about finding this podcast.
Right.
It means that whether you, whether the businesses that you go to will actually listen to the podcast, one, to understand the perspective of the host, and then to be able to find or decide what is the biggest amount of value that they can give to the audience based off the a couple podcasts that they've listened to. So real quick, I know I'm not the pro on this topic. Real quick, what do you think are some of the things that you would listen for when you are then listening to podcasts? I know it's not just for the sake of writing the email. I know there are other things that you do when you're listening to those podcasts before reaching out to the podcast hosts.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will say, I personally, and I encourage people that go through my groups to do this themselves for, you know, say 3 to 5 shows, so they really understand the process. They get how to like find these relational anchors that we talked about in the pitch email. How are they real? Like you just said, what of in my expertise will best serve this particular audience? Because you know it's typically going to be the same core pitch, right? It's the same core bullet points. Mm-hmm. There's an area of expertise mm-hmm. you want to go express, but it could be nuanced and it could be modified to a specific audience, right? An example with Fire Creek of that would be, let's say I'm going to go talk about our business story and I want to talk about e-commerce strategies because it's an e-commerce mm-hmm. product. So there's lots of e-commerce mm-hmm. podcasts, but if it's a show specifically for Shopify, like I've been on the official Shopify Masters podcast, well, mm-hmm. of course I'm going to talk about Shopify apps, Shopify conversion rates, because the audience is mm-hmm. very into Shopify. So I want to mention that whenever I'm pitching, and I want to perform mm-hmm. and use that as part of my interview. Now, what I was about to say is I have this feeling that like you really should do this numerous times yourselves, but my mm-hmm. philosophy beyond that is that you should really outsource the middle part of this process. Once you've dialed it in and you understand your message and who you want to talk to, I'm a big fan of having like an intern or a virtual assistant or someone on your team do like 80% of the work on an ongoing basis, because that's what makes it a system, right? Like if yeah. I had to spend all my time doing this research and listening to shows and finding the right connections, it's very likely still worthwhile, but it doesn't leave, you know, it eats up a lot of my time. So if I can go pay someone else, you know, a much more reasonable rate to say, hey, and in that role, basically, I'm responsible for step one. Like, I need to come up with the purpose as the business owner. What do I want to be doing? What's my call to action going to be? What am I getting out of these opportunities? And I'm going to own step four because I'm going to be the one showing up, performing, building a relationship with the host, right? But the whole middle part, step two and three, which is the bulk of the time, 80% of the time, which is the research and coming up with draft pitch emails based on that research, someone else can absolutely do that once they've been through a little training and they understand what they're looking for and how to do it. So, but as far as what people should look for, first thing I can give you a real quick like overview of how I look at step two and in the planning. So I will I'll be doing my research, and let's say I find 10 potential shows. I'll do a really mm-hmm. quick like 30-second screen of those shows to say, Do they do interviews? Like, if it's the solo show, there's no point in me pitching them. But do they interviews? Uh-huh. Are they still producing episodes? Because sometimes shows go dormant, and there's uh-huh. no reason to pitch them if they haven't done a show yeah. in a year. And then for me, depending uh-huh. on the size of show I'm looking to be on, I'll look at the iTunes reviews, right? Like, you know, uh-huh. sometimes there's zero, sometimes there's 1,000, and there's a huge range. And we talk about, uh-huh. depending on your business goals and your own audience size, which is most appropriate to approach. But that's kind of a good uh-huh. surrogate, I guess, for like size, because you don't really know how many downloads they get, but it gives yeah. you an idea. So once they pass those uh-huh. checks, then I'll say, okay, well, these five are still in the running. And then me uh-huh. or my assistant will go look through their list of episodes and look for something that's kind of related to what I do, right? So uh-huh. let's say it's a Shopify podcast. Well, I'll go in there and see, have they had some guests on who talk about relationships and like sales that aren't just Facebook ads, right? Like, and then uh-huh. I will listen to that episode, or at least the first 10 minutes of it, to kind of uh-huh. quickly understand how did they relate this to their audience. And uh-huh. you know, is there some things that host shares about they have a Shopify store, or they did e-commerce in the past, or they really like being on uh-huh. you know, they've grown their show by being on podcasts. Something that I can kind of hold on to and make a note to say, hey, you know, Kurt, this guy in that who runs this particular podcast has his own e-commerce product. So then whenever I'm thinking about both pitching him to be on his show, and when he says yes with his audience, I'll have that note to say, hey, Kurt, I know you have XYZ product. I don't know if you've tried this, but one tactic that's worked really well for us is this, you know. So it creates a relational point with him and his audience. And so that's best if you can find some like personal relational anchors, is again what I call that, and for the email. But in a worst case, what I'm really at the very minimum I'm looking for, and this is what I usually tell like my assistant to do, is just find an episode that is relatable to what I do. It's not gonna be the exact same, because I don't want to repeat someone else's episode. And I'll use that as the lever, as the relational anchor, you know. So okay. the email could literally be like episode 105, and then I could open it and say, hey, mm-hmm. I really like your podcast. I recently listened to episode 105. You interviewed Joe. I really liked that Joe talked about this tactic, and it was helpful for my business. And then, you know, I don't do exactly what Joe does, but I could really relate to it because I own a brand and we do the XYZ. And I think I could really add a lot of value to your audience. And here's what I would propose, and then put your bullet points about what you want to teach their audience. So it can be that simple, but you need some kind of opening relational anchor to where it feels like a warm email that from someone who actually has paid attention to you and knows what you represent.
Wow, awesome. So people want to get started with you. They want to work with you. What's the best way for them to get started?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they can go to simplesuccesscoaching.com. They'll see kind of two main things there. There's a free consultation. So if people just want to have a chat and talk about where they're at in their business and see if I have resources I could point them to, or perhaps one-on-one coaching, or perhaps like this small group. I do these small groups quarterly where we go through this whole process. Okay. And the best way, if they are really interested in partnership marketing specifically, I've got a free partnership marketing blueprint that basically takes those four steps I just outlined, and it shows them in some video case studies how they look, how they apply, and most people can take that and run with it. So that's at simplesuccesscoaching.com/partner, and that's totally free. So they can get on there, get the blueprint, and really get started with partnership marketing. And then if they find they like it and they want to make it more of a system, that's what our small group does, is basically walks with them for 6 weeks and gets the results with them, not just giving them things to do, but actually helping and support them.
I'm so excited that we've been able to provide so much value to you, the listeners, today. What Dustin is doing here today is something that I know a lot of other people do, but they are not willing to share the secrets with a lot of people. But he's coming out here sharing the secrets with you, and even providing the blueprint for free. So do yourself a favor, please. Click on the link in the bio where you can get the blueprint, and go check his website, see other valuable resources you can find. One good thing that I have been doing with my businesses is when I find something valuable, I actually share it with people that we are working with, or even people that I'm trying to prospect, people that I'm talking to, trying to let them know that, okay, I found this valuable stuff and I think it will be of immense benefit to you. So please do that today, right now. Don't just leave this great episode with yourself. Make sure you share it with people that you work with that will find it valuable. I mean, the information valuable. Share it also with people that you're just trying to talk to. Say if you can form business connections. Trust me, they would love you for it. So imagine how you would feel if someone walked up to you and said, I listened to this podcast and the value there was awesome. I think you should listen to it because the concept in this podcast is mind-blowing. It's definitely going to make you feel happy. So make someone happy by sharing this particular podcast with them. Thank you so much for listening, guys, and we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.